This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
The message that God has given me today is a tad different from what I normally do, a bit of a departure from what I normally do, but very much very similar in other areas of the message. And so the title of the message this morning is Atmospheres and Environment. Atmospheres and environment, and why it is so important to be in an atmosphere where God is in the place, and what that does for your life. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Let's pray and let's invite God to help us, to help you hear the word of God and be a doer of it, and to help me release the word of God and be a doer of it. If you agree with that, somebody say amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to be in your presence. God, I ask you to fill my mouth. Speak through me, God. Speak to every person that is in this place, every family, every mom, every dad, every son, every daughter. God, we thank you that you speak to every family, every situation. God, we thank you that right now that your anointing begins to, even through praise and worship, I believe that your anointing has begun to soften hearts, begin to move in people's situations. God, Jesus, you're the healer. Hallelujah. You're the deliverer. You're the restorer. You are, God, the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And so we look to you this morning. My faith, Father, is in you this morning to bring healing to those that are hurting, to bring deliverance to those that are bound. God, to bring clarity to issues. God, to bring solutions to problems. Holy Spirit, come in this place in a mighty, mighty way. And Father, we just thank you for transformation, that not only will we be hearers of your word, but we will be doers of the word by the grace of God. And therefore, we will be blessed in Jesus' name. Blessed in our marriage, blessed in our thought life, blessed in our emotions, blessed in our finances, blessed in our future, blessed in Jesus' name. We thank you for it and give you the praise for victory in every person's life through faith in Jesus. And everybody said amen. I feel my help coming on in here. It's good. Someone say it's good. All right, here we go. Atmospheres and environments. Thank you so much. Team just always does such an incredible job. Man, I've been hearing from different parts and different places that we've got some voices that are in the house that aren't yet a part of AE. And man, we want you to hook up. Someone say hook up. We have heard that there are voices, man, that are there. And then also, we're looking to begin to expand our ability to film and video department and edit and maybe get more than one, you know, just lots of it. We want to expand. Someone say expand. And so, man, if you're technical and you know how to edit, or you know how you can learn lighting, you just give into that kind of thing, man, get a part, hook up, get a part of AE, because we want to really begin to increase the level of production for whether it be Christmas or Easter, and just our everyday week, or every weekend, we want to present with the best of God's excellence and then allow his presence to change people's lives. Amen. And so, man, join the team. Get off the sideline. Get into Discover Course. And, man, just hook up. Get off the sideline. Get in the game, because we are believing much bigger than where we are right now. Amen. I remember being on San Juan Grade Road believing God for much bigger than where we were at that point. And God gave us this place. And so we're going to continue to do what God's called us to do here, and then expand into different things even here, and then move into some different areas. So we're dreaming, and we want you to dream with us. Amen. We believe God can reach a city. And this is just the beginning of that. And so, man, hook up, be a part of it. You know, it's incredible. You would never go to an arrest. Well, maybe. I mean, I did back in the day one time and almost got arrested. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. But I, you know, dine and dash. Y'all don't even know nothing about that, y'all. Yeah, y'all don't know about that. I guess some of you do know about that. And someone's like, how he know? but you would never go to a restaurant and not pay for the food that you eat. Well, let's not come to God and just partake of his table and not give anything in return. Let's all be people that, man, we're better together. Amen. Get off the sidelines, get in the game, and just watch what God can do. And I believe you'll be blessed. All right. Atmospheres and environments. How many of you know there are some atmospheres, some environments that make you happy? Bring emotions of joy. Some of you just experienced that with Thanksgiving. Others of you had Thanksgiving and it was difficult. So different days can bring different environments. And then obviously you respond to those things whether it be positive or negatively, those environments and those atmospheres affect your life. What about Disneyland, right? I mean, you walk into Disneyland and you walk down Main Street and start smelling all those smells that they, you know, pump through their vents to make you hungry. Come on, somebody. Come on, Walt Disney is no fool, man. I mean, that is a revenue-making machine. And but we go there and we make these incredible memories with our family, with our kids, and it you know, evokes emotions of joy and happiness and that kind of thing. So that's an environment, an atmosphere. You walk in there and you can sense that. Some environments make you sad, like, you know, a funeral. You've been to a funeral of a loved one or someone that you knew. And that environment causes different, affects you emotionally in a particular way. Other atmospheres, maybe like a concert. You go to a concert and they're playing your favorite song. Hey, DJ, you know what I mean? Like, they're playing your favorite song, and it brings up some emotions. Maybe you and your husband or wife have a favorite song together, and they start playing that song, and then the fireworks start happening. Come on, somebody. And then Marvin Gaye gets put on in the bedroom. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't, I mean, I'm saved, but I'm smart, too. Hallelujah. So that's a joke, people. All the religious people are like, oh God, like, all right. But the reason I say this is because atmosphere and environment, like I'm just giving you kind of some natural examples of this. But atmosphere and environment can mean the difference between life and death. How many of you know if someone is critically ill or has certain conditions, they can only live inside of certain atmospheres? Am I right about that? Certain environments are conducive to them living a healthier life. Whereas if they get put in a different environment, a different atmosphere, then it's detrimental to their health. And what I'm going to be preaching to you today is that Christians, as believers, as children of God, we were not designed to live outside of the presence of God. We were designed to live inside of God's presence. And living outside of God's presence can be detrimental to your health. Detrimental to your spiritual health, to your mental health, even to your physical health. We were created to live and function inside the presence of God. How many of you know when you come in the presence of God, stuff starts coming alive in you? I mean, faith starts coming alive, dreams start coming alive, emotions that have been tattered, that have been torn, that have been hurt or whatever, damaged, they begin to get worked on by the presence of God. And so the presence of God, the environment of God's presence can bring things to life in you. I have found out when you get out of God's presence, things begin to die in you. And this is where we find ourselves in this lukewarm situation where I love God, but my flesh loves the world. Come on, somebody. And I act this way in church, but then I go home and I got this other thing tugging at me. And that's only because I haven't been in the presence of God. But when I get in the presence of God, it makes me hungry for more of the things of God. It makes me hungry for more of God. When I'm not in the presence of God, things in me begin to die. And that's where that lukewarm state comes where you know, I love God, but I also have this thing for this. But when I'm in the presence, there's an element about the presence of God that you can get in his presence and he can overwhelm you with his goodness, with his unconditional love, and with fresh revelation from God. You know, I mean, in worship, God can be talking to you. Then you go home and read your Bible, God's talking to you. You're on your way to work and God's talking to you about the stoplight. Come on, somebody. I mean, like, God's just amazing. But it's amazing. You can just get away from his presence for a day or two. And all of a sudden, you forget how amazing God is. And then you begin to think with a carnal mind instead of a mind that is set on the things of God. Amen. And then all of a sudden, you're doubting. You're unbelieving. And like, why do I go to church? And why do I serve again? I mean, is it all? Why do I tithe? I mean, the carnal mind begins to take over when I'm outside of the presence of God. Because you and I were not created to live in environments of drama. We were not created to live on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook twit face. Come on, somebody. We were created to live there full of drama and looking at other people's lives and comparing ourselves to them and full of all kinds of turmoil. We were created to live in drama. We were created to live in insecurity. We were created to live in fear and anger. Those are environments the enemy wants you in because, listen, the very spirit that lives inside of you rebels against those environments because I was not created to live in those environments. I was created to live and walk in the presence of God. This is why the Bible says that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Because God lives inside of me. God lives inside of every believer. So if you're a Christian, God lives inside of you. You carry the environment of heaven on the inside of you. But now what we're talking about is cultivating what's on the inside to where it shows up on the outside. And so environment, and I mean, you just get in the wrong environment and bad stuff happens. I mean, do I need to go down this? I mean, I didn't think I was going to go down this highway, but I might as well journey a little while here. That you get around wrong environments and stuff that's in that environment starts affecting you. This is why the Bible says that evil company corrupts good character. And you can be at the wrong place. If environment doesn't matter, have you ever been at the wrong place? At the wrong time? And stuff happened that you never wanted to happen, didn't intend to happen, but it happened, because environment does matter. Atmospheres matter. And so we were created to live inside of the presence of God and to cultivate a lifestyle that attracts the presence of God. You understand, when you pray, you go into God's presence, but when you praise, he comes into your presence. We've got to begin to live lives that cultivate a life that is attractive to the presence of God, to where that when we walk into situations, we never walk in alone. We walk in knowing, if God be for me, who in the world can be against me? And so we're talking about these atmospheres, these environments, because they matter. And what I'm finding out is that when we come together like this corporate gathering where we encounter God should stir desire in you to go home and individually, intimately encounter God. Because atmosphere matters for your life. And let's go here. Psalm 84, verses 1 and 2. Let's look at what David. Now, this is incredible. How lovely is your tabernacle? God says, how lovely is your presence? How lovely is your atmosphere? How lovely is the environment of God's presence in my life? God says, I love your house. I love the tabernacle. David was a man of God. He was a man after God's own heart. David was... king, probably the greatest king in the world history outside of Jesus Christ. We're talking about David. I mean, you talk to people who've never heard anything else about the Bible, but they've heard of David. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man of God's presence. He was a man who worshiped God in the desert, and then God would bring him to the forefront, and because he had worshiped God in private, God gave him power in public. Come on, somebody. This is David. He was a man of God. He loved the presence of God, and because David loved the presence of God, he loved to worship his God. I think over 100 psalms are written by David, because I'm telling you, when you begin to worship God and create a life of intimacy with God, he gives you things. David was able to receive psalms because he worshiped God. And these psalms, all of a sudden, they tell the story of his life, that he was in trouble, but he worshiped God and God delivered him. He was in trouble, but he worshiped God and God delivered him. The enemy was surrounding him, but he worshiped God and God delivered him. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to anybody in here who you ever felt surrounded by the enemy, but you worshiped God and God delivered you? David loved the presence of God. He loved the atmosphere of God's presence. And because of this, let's go to the next verse here. He says, my soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. Isn't this amazing that you can get to the place where you long for the presence of God? Now, those of you that understand this, you need to preach with me on this, because there's a lot of people who never thought I could long for God like I used to long for a drug. But David said, my soul longs, yes, even faints. That sounds like addiction. There is this thing in God where there is an addictive nature to him. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So when you begin to taste that God is good, there's this addictive nature that I want more of him. I just spent time with him this morning, but all through the day, I sense him drawing me back to his presence, drawing me back to a place. I can steal away for 10 minutes and get lost in his presence. And there's this thing that David's talking about, but you know, there's a thing about God that you can be touched by God, overwhelmed by his love, but if you're not careful, you go away for one day, and there's this element about God that all of a sudden you begin to forget how good he is. Because the Bible teaches us this, that in the Old Testament they got manna, they got bread from heaven. They'd come out of Egypt, they were in the wilderness, they were in the desert, and God was raining manna out of heaven, bread. Someone say bread. Bread out of him. But here's what he said. He said, only gather enough bread for the day. In other words, I need to be in God's presence because the man of the bread from heaven is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. He said, because I am the bread of heaven. I came down from heaven. So what did the bread do? It sustained them in the wilderness and brought them through to the place of promise. Come on, somebody. Brought them through to the promised land. Jesus says, if you'll come into my presence every day, I'll get you through the tough times and then I'll get you into the promised land. Hallelujah. And so they gathered enough, but then they got tired. Just like a lot of believers, I'm tired of reading my Bible. I'm tired of praying. Come on, somebody. I've been believing, I've been praying, I've been going to church, I've been serving, and still this thing ain't changed. I'm tired. And they got tired. Here's what they tried to do. They tried to gather up enough bread for that day and the next day. But the Bible says they hid it, and when they went and looked at it, all of a sudden the bread began to mold. Because, oh, Jesus. So you stop being fresh when you're not in the presence of God every day. So God didn't stop being fresh. He's fresh every day. If I'm not fresh, if I'm molding, corrosive, and I'm stagnant, it's not because God's not fresh. He's got fresh manna for me every day. He's got fresh oil for me every day. It's because I haven't spent time in His presence. And so we've got to spend time with God every day. Cultivate that environment, that atmosphere of God's presence. But here's what He says: My soul longs for you, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. He says, I have experienced God and His presence. And listen, His environment, His atmosphere, His presence. I love this. My heart and flesh cry out. That sounds like He's addicted. That sounds like a craving. I love it, church, when I have already spent time with God in the morning, and instead of, I got to go pray tomorrow morning. Instead of that, my heart is longing to get with God later that night. Because when you spend time with God, you understand this, there's nothing more intimate on the planet than God speaking to you. And when He speaks to you, there's nothing more fulfilling. What I have found out is that intimacy opens the door to instruction, and instruction opens the door to the miraculous. Come on, man. This isn't from the Preacher's Digest. This is from heaven this morning. Intimacy with God opens the door to instruction from God. Instruction from God opens the door to the miraculous realm of God. In other words, Jesus said, go wash yourself to the leper. Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. The miracle didn't happen until He got to the pool of Siloam. But when He went and obeyed the instruction, come on, somebody, an intimate encounter gave Him instruction whereby He could go obey that instruction, and it opened the door to His miracle. The reason we need to cultivate an atmosphere of His presence is because when I'm in His presence, I become intimate with Him. Jesus Christ should be the most intimate relationship in your life. There is a place where you love your Bible. There is a place in Him where you can't, I feel the presence of God coming in here now, where you can't wait to open that word because you know the God of the universe, your loving Heavenly Father, is going to speak to you. And it is going to be, listen, it is going to be not only information, it is going to be revelation and impartation, stuff that you need to get through your week victoriously. Hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Come on, somebody. And so cultivating this environment allows God to begin to come into your life in greater and greater measure. Let me move on here. Are you getting anything out of this so far? All right, so He says, better is one day in your course than 1,000 elsewhere. In other words, I believe I'm benefited more by being in God's presence one day, and I can do more in one day than I could 1,000 elsewhere. There is this, I said amen. I am a living witness that when I am in the presence of God, when the touch of God is upon my life, I'm not afraid to believe God to mark a generation. And believe God that a school could get touched and revival could hit if I've been touched by the presence of God. When I'm not touched by the presence of God, the vision gets smaller, the believing gets... I heard Nick Hand say this. He said, your life is only as big as the biggest thing you believe in. When I get with God... When I get in God's presence, he causes me to believe bigger. When I get in God's presence, He causes me to dream bigger. My perspective now is one of faith. It's not one of what can't be done. It's one of nothing is impossible to them that believe. Somebody say amen. All right, so I love this. Now, God wants, here it is. Here's what God said to me. He said, God wants us to change the environment of our lives so he can bring the atmosphere of heaven to our lives. Is it worth it? Are you kidding me? If you have ever walked into moments where heaven showed up, you ever been sick and you're believing God for healing and you're in a moment of worship and heaven invades your body and pain begins to be driven out by the power of God because heaven just showed up. The Bible says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there anybody ready for heaven to show up on earth? I need to talk to some people in here that say, I'm tired of hell showing up. I'm tired of hell in my life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That should be our motto for the next 6 months, on earth as it is in heaven. Is anybody ready for heaven to show up? Woo! I feel preaching in me right now. Have you ever been in a financial situation and you didn't know where the money was going to come from and hell was coming and saying you're going to be broke all your life? How you going to pay your bills? How you going to put food on the table? Say, devil, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I do know one who can put food on my table. I do know one. Hallelujah. The Bible says all my needs shall be met according to his riches in glory. My Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it. My Bible says, hallelujah, if God be for me, who can be against me? Have you ever been in a moment where it felt like hell was all around you, but heaven showed up in the middle right on time? Somebody give God a praise right now. Woo! I came to tell somebody that heaven is still more powerful than hell, that God is still more powerful than the devil. God's yes always trumps the devil's no. God's promises are always bigger than the devil's problems. Hallelujah. What I'm talking to you about is beginning to live a life in a place where, any moment heaven shows up. Living a life of faith is attractive to heaven. Is attractive. You know, Deuteronomy says that when you obey the voice of the Lord your God, you obey his commandments, be careful to obey his commandments. The Bible says, you shall live in days of heaven on earth. Here's my question to you. Can your life look like heaven? I do want to tell you, God, I feel this in my bones. I do want to tell you, the believer's life should be one where we walk in the peace and the love and the power of God. And when hell shows up, we know heaven is about to crush the hell that just tried to show up. Hallelujah. You ever been where you needed God to show up, whether it be in a child's life, in your family, or in a family situation, or in a work situation, and it can feel like hell on earth. It may feel like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Sing. It may feel like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may feel like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I don't know what you're surrounded by. I don't know if it's financial. I don't know if it's marital. I don't know if it's emotional. I don't know if it's mental. I don't know if it's physical. But what I do know is that my Bible still tells me every one of those have a name. Every one of those have a name. And the Bible says that God gave Jesus the name that is above every name, that at that name, hallelujah, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess. I came to tell somebody, cancer is still below the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. HIV AIDS is still below the name of Jesus. Poverty is still below the name of Jesus. Addiction is still below the name of Jesus. I came to tell somebody that when you pray in that name, the name of Jesus releases heaven in your life. Hallelujah. So then we understand then that now that I carry heaven, right? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, that God lives inside of you. Someone say amen. Amen. So you are wall to wall, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So heaven lives inside of me. Huh? Heaven comes when I lift my voice in praise. Heaven comes when I worship God. Uh-huh. You may not know it, but heaven comes when you tithe. See, what I'm talking about is you cultivating an atmosphere of heaven in your life. Get the hell out of your life. I think the preacher just cursed. I don't know. Ah, Jesus. Talking about, there go that crazy white boy again. Hallelujah. Listen. Listen to this preacher right here. You know, I used to feel bad because every now and again I get in a cadence where I kind of sound like Chris Rock. You know what I mean? I used to feel bad about that. But then I found out that Chris Rock studied preachers. He said, because, you know, it's not all that different what we do. I said, Chris, I'm going to leave that one right there, but it's a lot different. You know what I'm saying? Right? But listen, man, listen. I'm trying to get us to a place where we understand that heaven is supposed to be released through us. We carry heaven. When we praise, heaven comes. When we worship, heaven comes. When I pray, I move into the presence of heaven. When I praise, heaven moves into my presence. Right? And when I use the name of Jesus, what is the name of Jesus? The name of Jesus is just as powerful as the man Jesus. No. You need to let that sink in. Because we all know if Jesus Christ stood over this particular sickness, that sickness ain't going to remain. If Jesus walked in to my financial situation, he had to tell Peter, go find the fish. And when the fish comes up, there's going to be money in the fish's mouth. Pay your taxes. Someone's like, yes, Jesus, yes. Where's my fish, Jesus? Talk about Jesus. Shh. I'll stop cheating on my taxes if you give me my fish. See, look at that. Like all the like robust laughter turned into ha 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 ha. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the IRS. I'm just playing. I didn't say that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I was role playing. I was saying that for you. Okay. All right. Here we go. So what is in the name of Jesus? The name of Jesus releases Jesus himself. And I can prove it to you. Matthew chapter 18. He says, if any two of you agree on earth, touching anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. And then the verse under that, it says this. It says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name. In, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. Here's what he said. I am there. So if I have the name of Jesus, I have Jesus himself. Does that change your faith? I mean, I could preach for 7 weeks on the name of Jesus. I can tell. Hallelujah. Someone got it. All right, here we go. All right. So let me say this because my time is slipping away, all right? God wants us to change the environment of our lives so that he can bring the atmosphere of heaven into our lives. I love this. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 and 35. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The atmosphere of heaven came. Then Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting, because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, this happened as a result. The glory, the atmosphere of heaven came down into the temple. Now, why is that important? Because when the glory of God was in the camp, every battle that they faced, they won. Amen? So when the glory of God was in the camp, when the Ark of the Covenant was in the camp, every battle that the people of God faced, Okay, so many different kinds of enemies came against them. It's showing us that no matter what enemy comes against you, if you're walking in the presence of God, no matter what comes against you, you can overcome. And the Bible says also that when the glory of God was in their camp, everything in their house prospered. This is why the devil will try to keep you away from the presence of God. Because when you live in the presence of God, you walk as God's man or woman on the earth, and everything you touch. See, I know we're not all experiencing this, but this is still God's promise. I said, this is still God's promise. And if we will believe it and begin to act upon it, we can start living in the reality of it. This is it. Now, why did the glory of God show up? Because the Bible said, God said, I want the tabernacle of meeting this big. I want it this many cubits by this many cubits. I want the ram skin over here. I want the badger skin over here. I want the gold poles over here. I want the Levites to wear this. I want Aaron's sons to wear this. I want the priestly ephod to look like this. I want it to be this color. I want it to be this. I want the altar overlaid with gold. I want this over here. I want the table of showbread over here. And God gave all these commandments to Moses. And the Bible says, that when the people of God had finished the work of the house and done all that God had commanded Moses, God filled the house with his glory. Here's what God's saying. When you start building your life according to his pattern, he'll fill it with his glory. What adjustments do we need to make to build our lives according to God's pattern? So God can fill our lives with his atmosphere. Oof. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so let's keep moving. Are you guys getting anything out of this? People may not always remember messages, but people always remember atmospheres where God invades the room. It's in these environments that we get marked, we get tagged, we get transformed forever when we experience his presence. Wow. All right, so let me say this. Talking about the atmosphere of the presence of God versus other atmospheres that we go through and see every day. How many of you, if you've ever been, I said this in the first service, I just kind of want to break this down. This thought is a little bit extensive, but I believe that it'll change your life if you listen to me. Now, if you're not a tither, then what I'm getting ready to share with you doesn't relate to you financially. Because, you know, I've tried to jump on board with, you know, give 2%. You know, if you're not tithing, at least try to give 2%. You know, try to give 3%. You know, try to get there. And I think I've even talked a little bit about that. Hey, man, 2% is better than nothing, right? But when I get into God's presence, when I get into God's word, he didn't ask me to tithe if I could. He just said to tithe. Why is it quiet now? I'm not talking about your breakthrough now, and now you're not, you know what I'm saying, not going to holler back at your boy no more. Listen, man. Our job is to do the best that we possibly can to live God's word. And then now to show you God's standard in his word. Because if we never show you his standard, then you think that what you're doing is okay when God's saying, come up here. So when I take a step higher, then God takes me another step higher. Every step I take towards God, God takes another step to pull me higher. We go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength. Somebody say amen. All right, so then, the Bible just said tithe. Tithe is 10%. You bring 10% to God to honor God. He saved your eternal life. He went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for your family. He was made sick so that you could be made well. He was made sin so that you could be made righteous. He was made poor so that you could become wealthy. He deserves whatever he asks for. He will bless you because you're a tither. But if there wasn't a blessing attached, I should still tithe because of what he's already done. I feel something in this place. Y'all don't want this pastor to pray, because when I pray, I come in here different. I come in here bold. I come in here not concerned whether you like me or not.
I come in here concerned whether you get closer to God or not. Ah! God says, I'm not after your money. I'm after your heart. And if you'll give me 10%, I can bless the 90 and blow your mind. Somebody shout, yeah! Stupid lying devil. Huh? Come on, I kicked that lying devil out of this house. You can't be blessed unless you're a tither. You can't be blessed by God unless you're a tither. Good Lord, it's not a choice, it's a command. Well, you know, I do it when I feel like it. Do you breathe when you feel like it? Good Lord. I learned this at 13 years old. 13 years old, I started tithing. And we got 47-year-olds that can't break off 10%. Because you don't love God, you love yourself. Let me take it a step further. Maybe you do love God, but you're too afraid to trust Him. If you'll come into His presence, He'll eradicate the fear so you can start trusting Him. Woo! I don't mind giving to somebody I know is going to bring a return to me. Hallelujah. Newsflash, heaven's economy has never had a problem. Am I talking to any believer up in here that in the middle of hard financial times, you didn't know where it was going to come from? You didn't know how God was going to bless you? But I found out if He's got to rain in ravens, He'll do it. If He's got to rain in bread from heaven, He'll do it. If He's got to bring water out of a rock, He'll do it. Whatever I got a need for, my God will provide. Come on, I feel the back of poverty being snapped in this place. Come on, man. Don't let the devil keep you broke. Huh? He ain't your pimp. Devil trying to pimp a bunch of believers into believing that you got a choice whether you tithe or not. My God, I'm going to listen to this tape and go, did I really say that? But a pimp never cares about its subjects. A pimp never cares about the women that it's using and hurting. Doesn't care at all. And the devil don't care about you either. You could say that 10% and go on a vacation. You could say that 10% and get a bigger house. God says, you give me the 10%, I'll give you 2 vacations a year. My God says, I can put you in houses you didn't build. I can give you vineyards you didn't plant. I can give you wells you didn't dig. Does anybody in here believe? Hallelujah. I'm tired of Christians not being blessed, not walking in the Abrahamic blessing. I declare, for we, as for me and this house, we're tithers, we're givers, and we're going to see the abundance of God's blessing here. Hallelujah. Shoo. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. All we need, huh? Some of you got sons and daughters, and there's not room for them on ministry right now. There's vision in this house to plant new churches. But Budweiser ain't gonna pay their staff bill. Huh? There's a vision in this place to have houses around this city where families that don't have enough money to make it can go in there and live in there for 4 months. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Where they can go in there and live for 4 months, 6 months, and save up that money and then get a place of their own and start serving God. That we have houses for drug trafficking victims, for sex trafficking, and for drug addicts. They come in there and they don't come out drug addicts. They come out full of the Holy Spirit and fire. And they... What if other places of worship were created? God began to move in different cities and we could staff those, because I'm telling you, whether it be your family, my family, whoever, what I am telling you is that God is not asking for your tithe to rob you. He's asking for your tithe
because it gives him access to bless you. Wow. I happen to believe. I didn't mean to get that close. I'm sorry. The new people are like, whoa, he's. You find yourself in thought. You're like, oh. I happen to believe that the best property in Salinas should be owned by people of God. I happen to believe that whenever God says to go do something, we should just be able to go do it. And this is now you know me, man. When have I preached on tithing except for like the tithe and offering, you know, like for 2 minutes, you know? Sorry, you know? But man, like this is, wow. If I could just tell stories, if I could just tell stories of this one, and this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. If I had time, I could tell stories of why the devil don't want you to tithe. But if you do and stay faithful, what God can do with your life. Nothing is impossible. So, maybe I can get through this thought now. Can you push your lunch plans back 15 minutes? Okay, so give me five and then we'll move on. So, seed I used to always trip out when preachers paused, and then here I am doing it, you know what I mean? Okay, so if I'm not a tither, then I can't be a sower. If I'm not a tither, I can't even be a giver. Because the Bible says, quit robbing God. How do you rob God? In tithe and in offering. You're robbing God of the opportunity to bless your life. Now listen, man. We've been tithers for years. Look at a couple right here. Have been tithers for years. And struggled. For years. But let me talk to you about the last 16 months. Y'all don't even know. My God is good. My God will pay back what the devil stole from you. Huh? Doing everything they possibly could to keep God first, serving his house, be faithful, and struggle. Tithing and struggle. Sometimes the devil will test you. I didn't say God, I said the devil. Because if he can get you to stop tithing, he can cut you off from that blessing. Sometimes the blessing's already in operation, it's just underground. The last 16 months, he left a place of employment, enjoyed the job, had some other things there that okay, let's look somewhere else. And he went and saw that. God blessed him there. While he's there, making another transition to another place of employment, all of a sudden, the place of employment that he left, that he worked for 8 years? 8 years, calls him. Oh, God. And said, we want you back. Not only do we want you back, we want you to come back. And you know your boss? He's been removed. We want you to take his job. Oh, my Bible says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And in this time of searching, in this time of God, what do you have next for us? They started a business on the side. Started a business on the side that's bringing in now enough revenue, almost like one of them is working another job. And I just feel like the Lord's telling you, it's just the beginning. Hallelujah. 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 Woo, woo, woo. Wow, man. There wouldn't be a need in this church at all if people just tithed. Now, we've got a percentage of people tithing, and don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, man. This is not a celebration church issue. This is a universal church issue. All right? Like, I think the average of the universal church is like 2% of people tithe. Something crazy. Something absurd. Like, I said this in the first service. Is this okay? This is the kind of teaching that changed my life. Like, my God, I'm ready to get out of this misery. Let me go ahead and quit being selfish and trust you, Jesus. Wow. What was I saying? I'm not wasting your time, I promise you. God's in this room, man. 2% people tithe. Yeah, it's a universal thing. And people are beginning to get it. People are beginning to catch it. So, seed, time, harvest. Seed, time, harvest. The Bible says that you've heard this before. You sow good seed into good soil, and you'll reap a good harvest. Come on, we've heard that, right? Okay. So, now there's a tither's blessing, and then there's a sower's blessing. Come on, somebody. Right? And so you sow good seed in the good soil, and you'll have a good harvest. And I think that's true, but it's partially true. Because you could sow good seed in the good soil, but have a bad environment, and still not get a harvest. We've been talking about atmospheres and environments. Come on, stick with me for this next 5 minutes. Can you do it? Okay. Wow. You sow good orange seed into good soil in Montana, you're not getting a harvest. Because the oranges, hear me, can't take the cold. Oh, God. The Bible says that the word of God is seed. First Peter. Come on. Stick with me. First Peter. Andale pues. Here we go. Where are you back there? Come on, man. Look at that. She's on it. She's on it, man. Here we go. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed. Someone say seed. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So the word of God is incorruptible seed. Am I right? I said, am I right? Does the word of God show you that the word of God is incorruptible seed? I'm going to ask one more time. Does the word of God show you that the word of God is incorruptible seed? Okay, so then, why is this important? Because the seed of the word of God contains the harvest. God, that's so good. I promise you, that is so rich. That's not in my notes, but that is God. The seed carries within it the harvest. The orange seed carries an orange grove. Woo! But you got to plant the seed in good soil, and then you got to have the correct environment for that seed to grow up. So Mark chapter 4 says the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. The sower is the preacher. The sower is Jesus. The sower is your pastor. The sower is the man of God or woman of God you listen to for podcasts. The sower is sowing the word. As you hear the word, verse 15. And these are the ones by the wayside when the word is sown, my God. When we're preaching, when you're listening to podcasts, when you're reading your Bible, the word of God is being sown into your spirit. So when you come here, you leave here with a bunch of seed that God wants to cultivate and bring a harvest into your life. Man, if you stay with me, God's in the room. I'm telling you, church, God's in the room. I feel something shifting. I feel something different in here this morning. Something's about to shift. These are the ones sown by the wayside where the word is sown when they hear. Someone say hear.
That's why it's so important that you listen to the Word of God. You're hearing the Word of God on Sunday. You get our church app and you listen on Monday, Tuesday. Get other podcasts. Listen to the Word of God, because the Word of God is being sown. And the Word of God is so powerful that it's the seed, but then it's also the water of the seed. Paul said, I planted Apollos water, but God gives the increase. So whether I'm planting the word in you, if you're hearing some of this for the first time, the seed's being planted. If you're hearing it for the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth time, it's being watered. But either way, that seed's being cultivated.
Yeah. Satan comes immediately to take away the word sown in the heart. So the word can be ripped out of your heart from Satan if you don't cultivate it, if you don't stay. Now, that's not my, I don't have a lot of time to go into the four kinds of soil. There's three kinds of bad soil, one kind of good soil. The good soil produces 30, 60, and 100 fold. Amen. Three kinds of bad soil produce nothing. So I'm not surprised when people don't get the word, because Jesus just got done telling us that one out of four get it. So don't be discouraged. Just refuse to stay one of the three. You make sure, make a choice. I'm gonna be the one that gets it. Hallelujah. All right. So check this out. So this is crazy right here. All right. So now, the word of God is seed. It's sown in you. The Bible says that you are God's garden, that your spirit cultivates and will grow seed. Whatever gets in your spirit, it'll grow. Whatever gets in your spirit, it will grow. But the environment must be right for the harvest to show up in your life. Now, this is incredible, because here's what God told me. The word, this is the seed. These are the promises. The promises of God are the seed of God. But why aren't the promises showing up in your life? My God shall meet all my needs according to his riches in glory. That's a promise. But how come my needs aren't met? Come on, somebody. If God be for me, who can be against me? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's a promise. That's a seed. But how come it's not showing up in my life? I feel like I'm getting my brains kicked in. What God joined together in my marriage, no man shall separate. I should have a godly anointed marriage, but how come that promise ain't coming to pass in my life? We fighting each other. We want to kill each other. Why aren't those promises coming to pass? He bore my sicknesses, carried away my pains, chastised my peace was upon him. By his stripes I am healed. That's a promise. He's my healer. How come it's not showing up? I'm not saying it's not showing up in any of our lives, but are you with me so far? Why aren't they showing up? Because you've got good seed going into soil that can be good, but if the environment of your life isn't correct, it won't produce that stuff in your life. Now, if that's true, then what is the proper environment? What is the proper environment? Here's what God told me. He said, there are no cold weather harvests in the kingdom of God. There are no cold weather harvests in the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus said, I don't want you lukewarm and I don't want you cold. I want you to be hot. So if you are burning in your relationship with Jesus, your life is a perfect environment for the word of God to be produced. Hebrews 12:29 says, my God is a consuming fire. So if I need the temperature in my life to go up, I just need to press into my God. Because the closer I get to him, the more the temperature raises in my life, to where my life is now conducive to produce the promises of the seed of the word of God. In my life, when I am walking in freshness and in fire in my relationship, now, what do I got to do to have fire in my life? Be close to the word. Be close to God. The Bible says, Jeremiah 20 verse 9, he says, your word is a fire shut up in my bones. Says, I can't even hold it in. So God is a consuming fire. The word of God is a fire. Come on, somebody. So if I want the temperature raised in my life, I need to press into God in praise and worship. I need to press into the word of God and make sure that the fire of the word and the fire of God's presence is heating up my life. Because when I'm burning for God, get ready. There's a harvest about to show up in every area. You notice this. Every time I study the presence of God, I can't study the presence of God without the arrival of fire. Because in the book of Revelation, I study the presence of God, and the Bible says Jesus starts walking around in the church that had lampstands. So the one who has lampstands, lamps, back in the day there was no electricity. Follow me. There was only fire. So Jesus wasn't walking around in the churches that didn't have fire. But the church that had fire, Jesus was walking around in that church. And I don't know about anybody in here, but I need Jesus walking around in my marriage. I need him walking around in my mind. I need him walking around in my life. Does anybody need Jesus to walk around in your life? In the Old Testament, there were lamps that had fire. There was fire on the altar that would consume the sacrifice. Every time I study the presence of Jesus, I always see fire. Because when you get into God's presence, I'm telling you, there is an element where you get lit up. Come on, does anyone know what I'm talking about? You get lit up with the presence of God. I hope that this message is more than a message to you. I believe, here's what God said. He said, this is not a message. This is a declaration from the throne of God. That if you will change your environment, I will bring the atmosphere of heaven into your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I guess what I'm saying is God is saying, quit living so far beneath your privileges. Quit living so far beneath what I have planned for you. I'm not preaching to you a message. I'm preaching to you a journey that God has me on. For the last few months, the Lord's had me on a journey back to the place of his presence. Hallelujah. Back to the place of burning for the word of God, burning for his presence. And guys, I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying I've arrived, but I'm saying that by his grace, I'm on my way. And guys, that's all he wants from you. Is a willingness to say, you know what, man? There's some coldness in my heart. There's some coldness in my life, and I need the fire of God. I need the presence of God. I need the word of God in my life to begin to raise the temperature in my life so that my life is conducive to produce the promise. Come on, man. Are you catching that? If your life heats up with the fire of God, the presence of God, it's conducive to producing the promises of God. Hallelujah. You know what? And I know I've taken a little extra time, and I'm sorry for that. Listen, man, times of my life where I have seen, it's like I'm not even, I mean, I'm living a life of faith, and I'm building my faith and confessing the word, but it's like I'm not trying to get the word to show up. You know what I'm saying? I'm not like, oh, I got to do it. All the principles, how do I apply them all? You know what I mean? Like, they're all important. They're all important. Listen, man, I'm so, like, I could come in here and preach a 37-week course on faith, on true faith in God. And we may do that because we live by faith and not by sight. But what I'm saying is faith is really a relationship with Jesus. Faith is hearing God and obeying God and speaking his word. Hearing God and obeying God and speaking his word. And I get to know Jesus through the word of God. But listen to me. In the times of my life where it's just like pop, 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 pop. How about this? You put popcorn on the stove, turn the heat on, and you walk up out of there. You can't hear nothing. You don't really know anything's happening inside that pot. But you're convinced if I just leave it on the heat. If I just leave those kernels, oh God, on the heat, those kernels are going to give me what's inside. A few minutes go by, nothing. I remember being a kid, like, is a popcorn on? Remember those Jiffy things? That's a generation, right? These kids don't even know nothing about Jiffy Pop or whatever it's called. Came in this weird, you know, aluminum thing with a little wire thing. You put that joker on there, and it would just sit there, you know. And then all of a sudden, it's like this big old huge mushroom effect. Come on, somebody. It was awesome. But anyway, you leave it on there, nothing's happening. Not a pop, nothing. But the environment's getting right. The temperature's getting right. And when the environment and the temperature get right, you hear a pop. And then you hear another pop. And that's how some of you started coming to church. You came to church, I heard a pop. I got a pop in my family. I got a pop in my marriage, right? Like I got a pop. And then you're like, oh my God, Jesus is so good. Jesus is so good. Come on, Chris, right? He's so good. I mean, Jesus is so good. I love me some Jesus, right? And you come to church, I got a pop. And then 3 months go by and you don't hear another pop. And then the devil says, why are you going to church? You're more jacked up now than when you started going to church. And you can go in there and serve. You only got that one pop. Popcorn's like that. You hear a pop, and then you won't hear nothing for a while. Come on, somebody. It's like, do I need to turn the heat up? Do I mean, what? And all of a sudden, pop. And then another, pop, pop. Pop, pop. God's saying, hey, I know it's been hard, and you haven't had a pop lately, but don't take your life out of the fire. Keep it on the heat of my presence, and you're about to see more pops than you've ever seen it. Because environments and atmospheres are important. If they're not important, then why did Jesus put out the people that were not believing out of the house where the girl needed to be raised from the dead? Right? He said, let me put them out. Let me put them out. They're weeping. They're wailing. Jesus, she's dead. Jesus said, no, she's not dead. She's sleeping. I know she's dead to you, but if you're me, if you're me, she's not dead. She's just asleep. No difference from me waking her up from a nap. So he said, put all the doubt and unbelief out. In other words, the miracle couldn't have happened in the atmosphere of unbelief. But when they put the unbelief outside the house, and it's just Jesus and the parents, he said, Talitha Kumon, that little girl got up from the dead. Because atmospheres matter. And my heart in this is that we would begin to allow the Lord to help us change the environment of our life, that we would begin to pursue God, that we would begin to go after an intimate relationship with God at home, so that when we come together here, the environment is so conducive to heaven coming, that there's heaven's environment is so real, the presence of God is so real, that it's easy for unbelievers to come in and just give their lives to Jesus. That people that are dealing with addiction, they just come in and those addictions fall off of them. People that are sick come in and just get healed because of the presence and the power of God. I believe that's why. Here's how God said it to me. He said, tell them if they'll change the environment of their life, I will intensify the atmosphere of heaven in this place. If you'll change the environment of your life, God says, I'll intensify the atmosphere of heaven in this place. Is there it? Come on, there's no sickness in heaven. There's no addiction in heaven. There's no tears in heaven. There's no sadness in heaven. There's no depression in heaven. There's no discouragement in heaven. And God says that environment will come in this place in a greater measure. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm conveying it, but it's the best I can do this morning. Good. Hallelujah. Come on, if you, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, if you'll bow your heads and close your eyes. You're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. On the count of three, I want to give you the opportunity to know him. He's so good, so loving. Unconditional love is yours through Jesus Christ. Secondly, so you know what, I've known God, but far from him. I need to come back to him. On the count of three, I just want you to lift your hand. We're going to pray for you. Either one of those invitations. On the count of three, before you can allow anything else, fear or intimidation, to keep your hand down. This is just between you and the Lord. So if that's you, on the count of three, lift them up. One, two, three, lift them up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for those hands. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I confess my sin. Jesus, forgive me of all my sin. Right now, I confess Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we rejoice over every decision that was just made?
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.